Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Pray with me. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that yes, you are always the guest of honor in this place, Lord. And we would not want to even show up here if you're not here, Lord. The doors are open to every person that's here, but our hearts are open to you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We love you, Lord. And we just ask that you would just shower this place with your presence, Lord, with your goodness, with accept our praises, Lord, accept our worship, Lord. We are here, Lord, because we love you. And we know that you love us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. All right, let's worship.
The last few Sundays have really been all pointed at the same exact thing. And it's the church really taking its position in the kingdom. It really is. Not straddling that line anymore of, God, I'm gonna be a part of the world, but I'm also going to be a part of you. Knowing who you are in God and the promises that he's given you. That's what it is. And this is a house of miracles. Any place that he is a house of miracles. That includes every single one of you because he dwells within you. So it is a perfect time to know if I'm asking for healing, I got healing. If I'm asking for peace, I got peace. If I'm asking for joy, I got joy. If I'm asking for freedom, I got freedom. If I need the burden lightened, it is lightened already. Claim the promises this morning. Claim the things that he's given you, the things he has placed within your life for you. Because where we're going to see the kingdom on earth, it's going to start here. When you start taking those steps of faith, knowing, God, what you've given me, I stand upon. What you've promised me, I stand on it. Because we stand on a firm foundation. We really do. And it doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter what happens. That foundation, it's all you need. So this morning, we're going to sing this one more time. And I just want to encourage you. I'm not telling you you got to move or anything, but stand on what God has given you this morning. If you're believing in something this morning, if you've got something that you've really been saying, God, I need your help with this. This morning, just know that he lives within you. And he does hear exactly what your prayer is, and he knows what he has in store for you. So just keep standing on it, because it is coming. Victory is coming. He has everything for you this morning. Hallelujah.
As I'm listening to this song right now, I know there's some people that are having issues with breathing. I want you to place your hands on your chest. This is the breath of God. Breathe in. Breathe in his healing. Know that he wants life. Just as we continue to sing this song, let it be a reality. As you sing it, let this breath of his life be inside of yours. And if there's anyone that wants to go lay hands on somebody that you know is needing this touch right now, please do so as we continue to do this song. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, I want to sing this bridge one more time because I can feel something in it this morning. And can I just say, can we get excited about the one who is everything to us this morning? Yeah. I know for me, I hear these bones will sing and our hearts will cry, and I just wanna, woo! rush out, because for me, He is everything. He is the one who has been there in every moment, who has touched every single moment. You know what? Can I have what you have? What we have is such a gift. It really is. And when I'm up here, because of the God I know I serve, I want to go nuts 24/7 because I'm excited. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for the things that He reveals to me. I'm excited because I know He's moving and He's working and He's changing things and He's revealing things and He is just doing something regardless of whether you know it or not. He's always moving in the background. Amen. And it's one of those things where even if you don't want to shout, He's still there rooting for you constantly because you are the love of His life. You are His children, sons and daughters of the Father. You're royalty in a kingdom that He has placed you high in. And that is something to really get excited about. It is. Because you already have victory in all things. You already have healing that He has placed within your bodies. And it is time that we start taking our place and saying, body, get in line, because God has given me a promise. And when I can't breathe, you give me breath so I can breathe, and I will breathe, and I will function according to what your word has said, which says that by your stripes, you have been healed. Not you will be one day, not sometime soon, but you have been, because He already paid the price for you. Whoo! Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Woo. Hallelujah. This week I was given a complete gift. I was preparing for the Sunday school and I didn't really know what I was going to do, and I thought of parables. And the more I dove into parables, the more it was a treasure. It was just a treasure. And Jesus never answers any questions. He always talks in parables. And we have to dive deep into those because the kingdom is there. It's all the answers are there. He never gives us a straight yes or no because it's living. It's ever changing. It's interpretation. I mean, we can interpret it one way as we're young, and one way as we get older, and one way again as we keep growing. It's living. It makes it real. It's not an old book. It's now. It's God's word. It's living, like the breath in our lungs. And we have a light. We have a light. We are the light of the kingdom. We have to let our light shine. We have to share. It's a mystery. It's exciting. There are so many parables in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, not just what Jesus said, but God as well. There are so many parables. And all the answers are there. It's the only book we need. It's the only book we need. God is it. And the more we focus on God, the less our problems drop away. He's our firm foundation. We have to build our house on His rock, not on the sand that will fade away, but on His rock. We have to let our light shine every day. And the more we focus on Him, and the more we cast out that doubt, cast out those demons, cast out that pain and suffering, deny the body and just focus on Him. That's all we need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy.
I've been hearing over and over during that last song, I am the good shepherd. Well, what does a good shepherd do? He leads his sheep, right? And the Bible says, my people hear my voice. So if you're a sheep and he's the Lord and the Holy Spirit is in you, we are supposed to all walk in the Spirit. We are designed to be led by the Spirit and only the Spirit. We're the sheep. We are to be led. And this is what he's telling me this morning. Thank you.
I just wanted to share a poem with you. I know Pastor Henry talked about he picked us a long time back in a sermon, and this is what came to me. And he did. He picked us for this very hour in time. I mean, we can't deny it. We're here for a reason. We got to remember that. So this is what I wrote. God picked you. You are a sweet rose in his kingdom. He picked you at night, for your fragrance was right. So your scent will draw others to him. He selected you for a unique purpose. You now drink from his living water and will bloom to your fullness for his glory. And from this, he will write your story.
This is really quick, and I was thinking about the dry bones from the Old Testament. And for a while now, and I felt like God prompted me that I am the dry bones. The church is the dry bones. And I think we had a taste of refreshment today.
I just want to say that I believe that what we've been going through this morning, there was some healing going on, okay? And the word was for your lungs. But God doesn't stop there, okay? And so if you walk away from this place thinking that nothing happened to you, that's on you. That's all I got to say.
Thanks a lot, Pastor. Thank you. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you know that God is trying to reposition us? Do you know that? God is, by his Spirit, is repositioning every person that's here. How many say amen to that? Amen. God is desiring to get you to the place where you look like him, talk like him, walk like him. Amen? How are you going to say amen to that? Jesus came to do his work, and then he left. Amen? And then he sent the Holy Spirit to come and do a work within the body of Christ. How are you going to say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so we're part of that. What God's doing in your life is good for you. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Sometimes we just don't get it sometimes. But everything we go through, the Word of God tells us, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5, it says that we are new creatures in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Old things are passed away, all things become new. All right? And the very next first verse says, and all things are of God. Everything. It's from God.
Yes.
So you might be going through something that's kind of hard and everything, but you know what? In the midst of it, just say, God, I'm just going to praise you in it. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to worship you. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to leave it to you. How many say amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to leave it to Beaver. How many, did anybody remember Leave It to Beaver? None of my grandkids don't leave it to Beaver. We're going to leave it to God. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to leave it to God. God, you're going to take care of this. And I'm going to worship you. My job is to worship you. No matter what I see with my eyes, no matter what's going on, I'm going to worship you, Father. Hallelujah. He's repositioning us. Amen. And the more and more that we trust him, the more he can speak into our hearts the glorious things that he has for us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's great things. God's doing some great things. So in that repositioning, God's not going to leave you the way you were 2 years ago. Has it been 2 years since COVID already? Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad he ain't going to leave you that way? Praise. Aren't you glad he didn't leave you that way? You've probably got more on you now than you ever realized. God grew you in something during that. How many say amen? I say, God, he taught me something. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. God is repositioning the body of Christ to take her place on the earth. Do you know that? The kingdom of God is on the earth. It's in you. But it's getting ready to get exposed. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's going to expose the body in ways that we've never seen. Things that we've never imagined. Eye has not seen, it has not heard, neither has it come neither has it entered the heart of man, right? The things that God has prepared for us. Can you imagine what he's going to do? Probably could imagine some things, but there's other things you just can't imagine. God's going to do with the body of Christ. Let me say amen. Praise God. So the repositioning is happening. And so what I want to start with, Romans chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3. Thank you, Linda. Sounding good. How do you say amen? Hey, give her a hand. Let's give Linda a hand. I appreciate somebody to come back and back up music. Because I really do believe that music offers a entrance. How many say amen? It is a vehicle. Do you know that? Do you know, how many of you hear an old song that you heard back in the 70s and you kind of remember where you're at? See, it kind of takes you there. Is that right? Music is a vehicle. There's some music that I'd rather not hear for as a music, as a vehicle. I mean, I don't know, man, but I just can't get into that, you know, whatever that is. But, you know, I thank you, Linda, for doing what you're doing. Amen. I believe there's an anointing on it. I really do. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1, says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit. I mean, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. How many of you say, yeah. Yeah. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has separated you and pushed you away. Can I say that? From the law of sin and death. Ooh, that's a good place to be. Do you know that? Amen. It's a separation that God has created because of the blood of Jesus. Do you know that? Hallelujah. I love it. You can, hey, if you want to stay in the law, you can. If you want, hey, because I was talking to somebody a few days ago who was telling me, you got to worship God on Saturdays. I said, what are you talking about, man? He says, yeah, that's the law. The Sabbath is the day to worship. Yeah, you're going to have a hard time with Paul the apostle and John the apostle. You're going to have a time because they met on the first day of the week. How many say amen to that? I mean, so, hey, we have entered in the day of the Lord as it is now, right? The Sabbath was the law. It was good for when it was good. But now God has delivered us from the works of the law and death. And he's brought us into the Spirit of life. Amen? Amen. So you can worship God all day long. The day to worship God is today, right now. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a big difference. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has separated, pushed me away from the law of sin and death. Is that good? Oh, good place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Is that cool? See, there's no more condemnation to you. But Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. There's condemnation on that sin. It's pushed away. It's done away with. Do you say amen to that? Do you understand that God has washed your sins away? Woo. Ha. It's true. It's true. The sins Jesus paid for, they're all done. Huh. But it says here, I like this where it says, for what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of flesh, sinful flesh. It wasn't sinful, but he was here in the likeness of everything that he did was to destroy the works of the enemy. Do you know that? Yes. He was here in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he was not sinful flesh. Let me say amen to that. Amen. Well, that's a good point. You got to remember that point, that he was here to do something. He came to do something. And he did some things, amen? How many know he did things? Oh, he did a lot of stuff. Even the scriptures tell us that if we were to write down everything that he did in the 3 years that he started his ministry, there wouldn't be enough books. There wouldn't be enough place to put all the books in the world. Amen. Because of all the things that he did. That's a lot of stuff. Amen. Hard to imagine. Imagine that. Hard to imagine. Glory to God. So let's look at a few things that he said. I'm going to use Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm going to use those guys to tell us a few things of what he did. Is that okay with you? Amen? Hallelujah. So let's go to Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Hallelujah. Here it says, "And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came near to him, came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were," what?
Healed.
"They were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue out of him, and he," what?
"Healed them all."
He healed some of them. He's a good quantity of them. Maybe three. Maybe 3 years all that came. That was great multitudes, amen?
Yeah.
How many did he heal? He healed them all. There's something different about this guy, amen? Yeah. Woo, come on, man. You ever looked at somebody and say, there's something different about that guy? Hey, there's something different about this guy. This guy that came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he was not sinful flesh. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew. There's Luke, and now we're going to go to Matthew, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. It says this, "And it was at evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said to them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.'" I'd like this. This is one of those scriptures where, I mean, what? How many people are there? There's a lot of people, multitudes. And he tells them, "Hey, you know what, guys? They don't have to go. You guys give them something to eat." What do you think of that? Remember a couple of weeks ago, I said something to you. I said, God will never demand anything from you unless he first places it within you. Remember that? He'll never demand anything from you unless he's already deposited something within you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Because if you got no deposit, you got nothing to give. Is that right? Well, here he's telling the disciples, "Hey, you give it to them." Huh, what? Are you kidding me? Hallelujah. So he says, "Give them to eat." And they said to him, "Jesus, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. Remember that Jesus is not just doing things out of, you know, just to do things. Everything he does is speaking to the body of Christ. Can I say that? It says he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks. And they did all eat and they were all filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. How many people do you think? Let's just say they had 2 kids each, maybe their wives. Whew, man, we're just probably talking about 10,000 people. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of folks. There's something amazing about this guy. Amen?
Yes.
Woo, he's amazing. What? Hallelujah. It's no wonder people were following him all over the place. Hallelujah. Let's hear what Mark has to say. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Says this, "The same day when evening was come, he said to them, 'Let us pass over to the other side.' And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship." I'm not sure what they meant by that, "took him even as he was." Maybe he was tired. Maybe he was, I don't know. Whatever he was, they took him just that way. Amen?
Amen.
Take him as he is. Anyway. Okay, and they had sent away the multitude. They took him, even as he was, into the ship. And there were also with him little other ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Kind of gives you an idea how he was. He was tired. And he fell asleep in the back of the ship. He sleep on a pillow. And they woke him and say, Lord, Master, carest now not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now all of a sudden they got scared. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? What kind of guy is this? He looks just like us. He's no different than us. I mean, but he, boy, he's different. This guy is different. How do you say amen?
Amen.
I mean, there's something awesome about what this guy's doing. Amen. Wouldn't you love to have been the apostles? I don't think so. Come on, man. I said, whoa. I'm glad he put us where we're at right now. How do you say amen to that? Come on, man. Things were changing. See, he was repositioning these guys. Amen? They were seeing things they had never thought they'd see. A man telling the sea and the wind to calm down, shut up, peace. Amen?
Amen.
Ooh, what a, oh God. What a guy this guy is. Amen? I love you, Jesus. Come on, you're like nobody I've ever known. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Let's hear from John, Pastor John's favorite writer in the Bible, John. Come on. Chapter 6, verse 16 through 21. This is also in Mark, where we just read. And in Mark, Jesus actually tells his disciples to go and get into the ship and take off without him. That's in Mark. You'll find it there, but the same story is here in John. You don't quite see that part. So he says, and when he was now come, his disciples went down to the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nearer to the ship. And they were afraid. But he said to them, It is I. Be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land where they went. I mean, now Jesus is doing what?
Miracles.
He's walking on what?
Water.
He's walking on the water. There's something different about this guy, man. I ain't no, I seen nobody do this. Oh, man. Anybody get a video? No, man. Come on, man. Ooh. This was the Lord. This was he that was sent from heaven. His Father sent him. He was in the world, but the world didn't recognize him. Amen? He was doing these things like, oh, man, this guy's got to be greater than Elisha. This guy's got to be greater than Moses. Oh, yeah, he was. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was the creator of the heavens and the earth. How many say amen? He was on the earth with them. Huh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I like this little story. I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 27. I like this little story because this is a little different. And when they were come to Capernaum, remember they got in the boat and went to Capernaum? And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Does not your master pay tribute? Tribute are temple taxes. So these were Jewish guys. They were asking, Hey, doesn't your master pay taxes? And Peter said, yep, I walked away. Amen. That's it. That's what I do. Yeah, yeah, you want money? Go ask him. I don't know, ask me. He says, yep. Peter said, and he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. He wasn't asking a question. He was saying something. He said, the children are free. Oh, you got to get this, folks. You got to get this. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what kind of needs you have. Everything God has for you, he's already given it to you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You see, because if you look at this story, if you look at it again, he said, who do the kings of this earth ask for tribute? They ask for, do they ask from their children? No, they don't get, they don't make their children pay it. Is that right? They get it from strangers. That's what he's saying right here. And he said, then the children are free. He says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go out to the sea, cast a hook, take up the fish that first comes up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take that and give to them for me and thee. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
I'm sure Peter did exactly what God, Jesus told him to do. Amen?
Amen.
He says, okay, I'll go do that. And he went down to see. What's amazing is Jesus is giving us something. He said, hey, the kings of the earth, they don't charge their children, do they? No, they don't. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Your father has promised to maintain you, to take care of everything that you need. Can you say amen? Do you know that? Is it something that you know, or do you let it escape you when you need something and you don't have that? Do you know that God has provided everything for you? Do you know it? Glory to God. So you might say, well, we don't have to pay taxes then. He's going to take care of that. No. Jesus, I'm glad he said this. Lest we offend them. Can I tell you, people get offended if you don't pay their taxes. Is that right? What do you mean you're not paying your taxes, man? Hey, we're getting this road paved here. We pay our county tax. And you don't pay your taxes, man? Get off the road. I'll run you off, bro. Yeah, you know what? Is that right? Come on, man. Lest we offend them. He tells him to do something very odd. Is that right? And what I love this story. I say it. I tell it every once in a while. And I get excited when God gives me these scriptures because I love this story. I used to tell it to my kids when they were little. I used to tell it to the youth group. I've told it in the church a few times. But I just love this story because this is a story of hearing God and obedience. Because Jesus told him, go find this fish. Let's call this fish Charlie Tuna. How do you say, man? You know Charlie Tuna? You got, you remember Chicken of the Sea? No, that's not him. That's a different guy. Charlie Tuna. Let's call him Charlie Tuna. Charlie Tuna's out in the ocean swimming around, and he's passing by this old sunken ship. And he hears the Lord say, Charlie. Yeah, Lord. He says, go down by that ship and pick up one of them coins that are laying out there. What? I don't eat coins. I just need you to pick it up. Okay. So he goes and picks it up. What do you want me to do with it, Lord? He says, hey, we'll take it over by the shore. Oh, no, God, I don't go by the shore. No, I don't like to go by the shore. He said, you need to take it over by the shore. Okay, God, I'll take it by the shore. So he's swimming around. He gets close to the shore. And by this time, Peter's down by the seaside, pulls out his little, oh, they didn't have them back then, nor are they? They didn't have a reel and rod, did they? Yeah. They just had string on a, well, I don't know what they, maybe. There's a hook, because it says cast the hook. Jesus told him cast the hook. So he throws it out there, the fish has got this coin. He's okay, God, what? He says, see that hook? I don't see no hook. No, you see a hook. Yeah, no, I don't want it. And he, get on that hook. No, look, God. Get on the hook. Ooh, what a story, huh? Okay, God. Amen. Is this an obedience or not? Does God love obedience? Oh, he does. He does. So he says, okay. So he goes over by that hook. I wonder how long it took him to get it. I don't know. Gets on, bites the hook. Peter feels it. Whoom, the fish is out of the water. The fish is yelling, God. Charlie, calm down. He's after the coin that's in your mouth. Peter grabs the coin, throws the fish down. You see, the whole creation responds to God. Why don't we? Oh, you got to. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, I felt that. Oh, my goodness. Why do we not respond to God and do what he asks in the moment? Not 2 weeks later, not a month later, in the moment that he asks, okay, God, I'll do it. Obedience when you hear God. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus was demonstrating something that was spoken years and years before. This is spoken to Adam, the first man. Jesus, the second Adam, was doing what the first Adam should have been doing when he first came on the earth. But let's look at this. It's going to be Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. I'm going to put up there the design. Can we put up there, before you do that, this is his design. Is his design for you is his image. Do you know that? You have been designed. You've been created in the image of God. Do you know that? You are absolutely more spectacular than you think you are. How many say amen? Get up tomorrow morning and say, boy, you're spectacular when you look in the mirror. Can you say that? You are awesome. Yeah, amen. I mean, all those things that we just attributed to Jesus, you know, this is the creation. This is what God created for man to be. Can you say amen? This is his intent. And you can't get away from God's intent. See, he's the original planner. He's the one that created all these things. He's the one that created man in the garden. We are going back to the garden, folks. We are going back to the things that God purposed in the garden because it's his plan. He says, my plans will never be lost. Everything's going to come back to the plan that I placed on the earth when I spoke to that first man. Is that cool? Woo, hallelujah. So let's look at this. So Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image. Notice the plurality of the word, our. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen? He said, after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. See, here's some little critical things that he said. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Did Jesus show that? The dominion that he had from wherever he was in Capernaum to tell Peter to go get this gold out of this Charlie the Tuna's mouth. See, Jesus was expressing the things that God had said. It says this, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over all the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. This was Jesus. This was Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They said, let's do this. They're in this board meeting, I guess, if you want. Come on, let's do this. What do you think, guys? Yeah, okay, well, let's do it. They're all in agreement. So God created man in his own image. In whose image? His own image. Remember when they came to Jesus and they said, hey, should we pay taxes? Should we pay taxes? These are the Pharisees trying to trap him. And Jesus said, well, show me a coin. So they tossed him a coin. Here you go, Jesus. Grab me. And Jesus looks at the coin and he says, well, whose inscription is this? Whose picture's on this? Whose image is on this coin? And they said, Caesar's. And he tosses it back to him. Come on, John, get him, play with me. Yeah, he tosses it back to him and he says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, but render unto God that which is God's. You see, you are in the image of God. You need to render yourself to him. Render unto God the things that are God's. Say hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Amen? How many know we're into subduing this earth? How many say this is why we're here? The earth is the Lord's and he gave it to us. Guess what? We got to subdue this thing. Amen?
Yes.
Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Every living thing. Have dominion over it. Can you say amen to that? See, this is a word that God gave Adam. Jesus is walking in the earth, and he's doing this. He's having dominion over all these. I mean, he's exercising that, what God had given to man. Jesus is saying, look, I've come not just for one thing. I have come to show you what a redeemed man is supposed to look like on the earth. Is that right?
Yeah.
Was he showing off when he walked on the water? Not at all. When he called out to the sea, was he showing off? Was he showing off when he healed them all? He wasn't. He was showing this is what a redeemed man or woman looks like. This is the plan. This is what God had imagined for the earth. Is that cool? Oh, my gosh. Folks, he's bringing us to it. He is repositioning the body of Christ to walk this way. Is that cool? You might surprise yourself when you go out in your swimming pool and you walk across it. You go, whoa, wait. No. I don't think you're going to go. How many of you know we don't have to go test God on this? Okay, I'm going to go see. I'll go ahead and put my bathing suit on just in case and step off and poosh, right? Folks, but if there's somebody out there in the lake that's dying, that's drowning, it takes a while to swim to him. It'd be better if you just ran over to him, picked him up. Come on, man. When the time is needed, the Spirit of God will help you, will take you. Is that right? The Spirit of God took Philip and talked to the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember that? Brought him there, baptized him, and took him somewhere else. Our problem is we don't believe God. Is that right? Our problem doesn't lie in whether God wants to do it. Our problem lies in whether we believe it or not. It's doubt is the biggest thing in our lives. Sin's not a problem with God. He already took care of it. Our biggest thing is doubt. We doubt that God has said. Hallelujah. We sing songs. God said it. I believe it. Ah, yeah, man. Poo. But then what happens? I don't know. Something happens. Doubt creeps in. And folks, doubt is an enemy to you. It's an enemy. Give it no place. Say, God, I'm going to believe you. I don't care what you say. I don't care what I see. I don't care what people say. I am going to believe you, period. I was telling some of the folks earlier, I had some people trying to get, I had a guy that he's a brother, and he's trying to convince me to buy silver and gold because it's the only thing and all this other stuff. And, you know, no currency has ever lasted but silver and gold. And I said, bro, what came to my heart, what flowed up from my inner being was this. It said, God will supply all my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I don't care what, I mean, you don't have to worry about income, folks. He will supply all your needs. That's his promise. That's his promise. I am, he says, Jehovah, what?
Jireh,
I am your provider. Rest in me. Rest. The Word of God says that in quietness, it'll be your strength. Have a seat. Say, God, I got this bill collector knocking at my door. I'm going to invite him in for coffee. We're just going to sit together and see what you do. See, God is able to do far more than you can even imagine. John and I were in a back room here crying out to God because we said we didn't know what to do. God, we got no idea what to do, God. Should we take a loan and pay for the building? What do you want us to do? And suddenly this presence of God came into the room. John and I are weeping, and we go, okay, you know, maybe he wants, okay, I guess we're going to go ahead and take a loan. He said, yes. An hour later, we're in the board meeting, and in the board meeting, our bookkeeper tells us, hey, we got over $1 million in there. You can buy it right now. Oh, that was the Lord. That was the Lord. He is a provider. Who are we? Amen? To be sitting in a, it's over $2 million now is what Steve is telling me. Is that right, Steve? This building's over $2 million is what it's worth. We got the roof fixed, so now it's even more money. Who are we? Who are we? We're his kids. Come on, man. Hallelujah. He's my dad. And he says, I'm going to take care of your needs. And can I tell you, he does. I will tell you something. We need a parking lot that's paved. How many say amen to that? How many of you have trouble parking out because you don't know where the lines are? He's going to give it to us. He's going to give us everything we need because we trust him. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm going to take you back to what the law could not do. What the law could not do. What couldn't the law do? Oh, come on. The law couldn't make you righteous. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. This is probably, I say it on all these scriptures, but it's probably my favorite scriptures area. I love Hebrews 10 because it's got a lot to say. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10, chapter 1. And Pastor John, I'm going to ask you to look up, and I want you to say what Hebrews 10, hold on just a minute. Look. Because some folks, sometimes that you just don't, by two or three witnesses will everything be established. Amen? Amen? Is that right? Is that what God's word says? John, look up in your Bible, verse 14, okay? Hebrews 10, 14. I'm going to go ahead. It says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. The law was just a shadow of good things to come. What were those good things to come? His name is Jesus. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year continually, make the comers thereto what? What's that word? Perfect. All right? I'm going to address some of the things you're thinking about. I think the Holy Spirit is addressing us this morning. Because a lot of times we think that we're not perfect and we can never be perfect and all this stuff. Well, see, the Bible says that you had to die to yourself. That old things passed away, brand new things came in. Is that right? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. Is that right? Yeah. So now the Word of God says, now this perfect things is Jesus. Okay? So it says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things can ever, by those sacrifices, which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. What the law could not do was that right there. Couldn't make you perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, once they're perfect, they don't have to offer for sin anymore. Is that right? Why? Because they're not sinning. Is that okay? Do you get what I'm saying? Okay, well, so we're going to go on. They would have ceased to have offered because the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again of, made of sins every year. This is one of those things that I tell you, religion will trap you in a place where they will tell you, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. But when you got Jesus in your life, you are no longer a sinner. Can you say amen? Amen. God has washed you and cleansed you and patted you on your behind, said, get on now, come on, let's go. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You're not a sinner. That's right. You are redeemed. Hallelujah. He says, and once purged should have had no conscience of sins, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. They would do it every year to say, hey, man, remember, this is just, I mean, you guys are sinning. These animals are covering your sins, not taking them away. Is that right? Every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It could only cover them. Innocent animals. Amen? Yep. Innocent animals. Look at your neighbor and say, innocent animals. Poor animals. Amen? Poor little animals. Is that right? Innocent. They didn't do nothing. Is that right? Yep. And they're atoning for the sin of man. Not good. Amen? Not good. Hallelujah. He says, wherefore, when he comes into the world, he said, sacrifice and sin you would not. Just as Jesus saying to the Father, sacrifice and offering you would is not. But a body you have prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have had no pleasure. See, God's the same way. Poor animals. Poor little animals. They didn't do nothing. And they're atoning for sin. God had no pleasure in those animals dying. But see, God had planned something for mankind that he had to deliver. See, because God is so, let me just say, responsible. He is a good guy. God is so faithful that once he created man, he knew what was in man. He knew the design that he made him in. He knew that the design was perfect. Do you know that? The design was perfect. So he says here, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, this is the writer of Hebrews, right? He says, above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin you would not, neither has pleasure in them, which are offered by the law. You hear that? By the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first. What's he talking about? Talking about the law. He takes it away that he may establish the what? The second. What's the second we read in Romans 8? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He's going to establish it. By which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Do you get that? Yeah. He offered his body for you. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. They were only coverings, so God couldn't see the sin. They were just covering. The blood would cover those sins. But this man, huh? What man?
Jesus.
Yeah, what man? Does anybody know who we're talking about here? Jesus. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, how many sacrifices? Just one. One sacrifice for sins for how long?
Forever.
Sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. What's the footstool? What does the Bible tell us is the footstool? The earth is his footstool. He's waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. Folks, he's waiting on us. Yep. Got to get this. You got to get it. For by one offering, look at this. This is cool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, you got to hear, folks. Listen to me. Don't you ever let God hearing you say, well, nobody's perfect. Don't you? You are slapping him in the face because of what his son has done for you. This might sound pretty stern, but God presented it stern. Because he, I'm going to interrupt this right here, but he gave me a word this morning. Terry, go ahead and put up Psalm 50. Notice he says, but to the wicked, God says, what have you to do to declare my statutes or that you should take my covenant in your mouth, seeing that you hate instruction and you cast my words behind you. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. He's saying the wicked. Who are the wicked? Well, we always look at it, well, so people don't know Jesus. But he says, who do you think you are taking my word, put it in your mouth, when you don't even believe it and you cast all my words behind you? It's time to believe what God is saying. Amen? Don't cast any of his word aside. Hallelujah. He is moving and repositioning the church. We got to understand it. Let's go back to Hebrews where we're at. I'm sorry. I'm going to let John read this scripture right here. John, come up to the mic because we're going to need you. Yeah. Hallelujah. This is what it says in the NIV. Yeah.
And just that one.
Let me read it first. It says, for by one offering, where's it at? I think it's verse 14, Terry. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified.
And in the NIV it says, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, you got to understand that God has done the work. You have to rest in it. You have to believe him. Believe him. Amen. He's repositioning you. What you used to believe back before and everything back there, God is saying, I'm repositioning you. I am opening your understanding so that you might understand the things that I've done to carry on what I'm doing in the earth. Can you say amen to that? Amen. It's a powerful work, folks. It really is. We are not to be messing around with this stuff. Amen? Yeah. Like he said, who do you think you are taking my words into your mouth? When you cast them behind you, you don't even look at them. You hear, like pastors, you'll hear Pastor John, myself, speaking words to you, but you won't even go look at them. You say, well, I just don't agree with that. It's okay that I don't agree with that. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. You need to look at the word of God. Don't just pass it off. Don't cast it behind you like, well, I don't believe in that. No. It happened to the Pharisees, don't you know? Jesus would say things to them. They said, they cast it behind them. They cast it behind them. They said, no, man, he's not the Son of God. Who does he think he is, man? He's just trying to take our place. And oh, man, it happened to them, and it can happen to the body of Christ. It can happen to the church if we're not awake. We've had a few words in this church saying, wake up, wake up. It's time to wake up. It is time to wait. It's time to take the word of God, get into the word of God, let the word of God transform and wash you and cleanse you like never before. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Folks, whether you believe it or not, whether it feels like it or not, you cannot go by what you see and do and hear. You got to go by what God says to you. People might tell you, oh, no, that's not true. We're all sinners. We were all sinners. But the blood of Christ speaks something different. Amen? It says, whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. Notice that it says the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. See, the Bible says by two or three witnesses, everything will be established. The Holy Spirit witnesses to our spirit. Our spirit agrees with his spirit. Now you got two witnesses, and it is done. The word of God comes to you as a witness. The Holy Spirit brings it as a witness. You allow it. You take it, and you look at it. You say, God, if this is what you're saying, if you're saying that I'm perfect, I want to see it in the word. You're going to find it all over the word. Jesus told his disciples, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. That doesn't mean be mature. I heard somebody told me, oh, that means mature, Henry. No, it doesn't. That means God had to mature into his perfection. That's not what he's saying. He's saying being perfect. Why? Because you're created in the image of God. His image, not yours. Hallelujah. Sounds like we're spanked, aren't we? Sounds like we might be. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible talks about that we need to be valiant for the truth, because the truth will get milked out. Can I say that? Man will milk the truth out of and say, well, this is the way. This is what he means. No, this is what he means. No, the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm here to tell you what it means. I am here to lead you into all truth is what he says. Amen. Glory to God. So he says this, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. Amen. And in their minds, I will write them, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. Because of what we just read, you need to understand something. There's a mindset. Hey, come on Wednesday night. We're talking about mindsets. There's a mindset that somehow the church has picked up, said, well, we're just sinners or whatever. You know, we can never be perfect. There's a mindset that's out there where God is saying, I'm trying to change that. I've given you the mind of Christ, but you keep throwing it behind you. Oh no, don't do that. Amen? There's a mindset out there. That says, when I do something wrong, I ought to go tell God I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Folks, the word of God is pretty clear that he's not going to remember it. Is that right? He don't remember it. It's just that you don't get what he's saying. Is that okay? Can I tell you that? You're not getting what he's saying. So when you go up to him, well, God, I did it again. I love Snickers and I stole another one from my wife. Whatever. Or my husband. And I stole another one. I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Father. God says, I don't remember that. You're wasting your time here. You're coming before me with idle tales. The word of God says, come before me with truth. Is that what he says? He's looking for truth. He's looking for the Spirit. That's what he's looking for. And he's asking you to understand what he's saying to you. This is why he's opening this up this morning, because God is trying to reposition the body of Christ. Know the position he's given you. It's a beautiful position. It's a position of power. It's a position of honor. Hallelujah. In the earth, where the world will look at you and say, I don't believe it. He's amazing. She's amazing. Amen? Yeah. Why? Because not you, it's the Spirit of God in you. Drawing and calling. Bringing the people of God. Bringing those that don't know him. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says this. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yes. God wants you to be led by his Spirit and by nothing else. Don't be led by your own mind. Don't be led by your desires. Don't be led by somebody else. Be led by the Spirit. That's what he's saying to you, okay? Watch out. This is another one he's saying to you. Romans 8, 16 says this. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. This is what I was talking about, how the Spirit bears witness. We're two of, well, by two or three witnesses, everything will be established. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Beautiful position, folks. He's repositioning you into that position where you know and you hear and you understand what he's saying to you personally. What's the currency of heaven? What is the currency of heaven, folks? It's not silver and gold. Might say love, could be love. But really, the currency of heaven is faith. It's faith. You got to believe him. You got to take what he said to you, believe it by faith, and watch it happen. Is that okay? It is the currency that God has for his people to use. You use faith in those things. Whatever it is you're going through, God is just saying, talk to me. What does my word say? Declare my word before me. Let us reason together, he says. Let us go into agreement together with what? With his word, and watch it happen. Amen? He's not going to let you drown. Amen? He grabbed Peter and, come on, bro. What's wrong with you, lad? You were walking. Amen? Probably, you know, I don't know. Maybe it'd be different. Maybe I'd be just like Peter. But if I took three steps without sinking, it'd be a dance from then on. Come on, Jesus. Come on. I'm coming to you, Jesus. I would have been dancing going towards him. Amen. Because it ain't happening. Amen. He's not going to let you drown, folks. He's not going to turn loose of you. He has you. He paid an incredible price for you. Why would he let you go? No reason. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of things not seen. It is substance. It's the currency of heaven. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." How many say amen to that? Amen. Let's rise. Let's stand up and let's pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Know that God's got great things for you. Amen? It ain't over yet. Amen? Hallelujah. God's got more for you than you can even imagine. And he's got it where? He's got it locked up where? It's already locked up within you. It is within you. He's already given it all to you. You just got to learn how to fish it out. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Be obedient, like the little fish, like Charlie, and you watch. He'll fish it out for you. He'll show it to you. His desires, his plans, his goals, his anointing on your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your people, Father God, are being repositioned into the area where you desire us to be, Father. I thank you all over the world. People are being repositioned by the Holy Spirit, Father. So, Father, continue, Father God, as we come before you and as we read our word, as we pray, as we do, Father God, those things that know builds us up, Lord. Father, just continue to speak to every heart. Continue to bring revelation to those that call themselves by the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, God. I praise you for it, God. Give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
One more prayer for you. Father, I just pray, Father, for the body of Christ. Father God, anything that is contrary to your word, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, anything that's contrary to what you have said in your word for your people, Lord. Hallelujah. Be pushed away, knocked away, kicked away. In the name of Jesus, I pray this morning, let the glory of the Lord inhabit the body of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, thank you for coming this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.